Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our short series of studies in the Philippian Epistle. And we have divided the Philippian Epistle, which has four chapters, into four different studies. We have much of the mind in the Philippian Epistle. The Apostle Paul is incarcerated at Rome in prison. Now, they could put his body in prison, but they couldn't put his mind in prison. He loved the Philippians to whom he was writing and to all the church of God. And the Apostle Paul indeed was just presenting to them the glories of God, and he was just so glad he could do so. And that the mind is free, and you never know he was in prison unless he had told you so. But he was, and he was facing death. But he did not let that keep him from ministering to the church of God. Now in chapter 1, in the Philippian epistle, we have the gospel mind. We touched on that last week on our last broadcast. And then in chapter 2, which we will be considering today with the help of the Lord, we have the humble mind. Then in chapter 3, we have the determined mind. And then in chapter 4, we have the committed mind. So today we're going to begin reading in chapter 2. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow with us in the Scriptures. Here is verse 1 of chapter 2 of Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of this, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This wonderful portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, speaks of the incarnation of Christ, the purpose of it, and the fact that he humbled himself in so doing. He humbled himself. And we have the privilege of humbling ourselves. And we're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we have in these 11 verses that we've read, we have in verse 2, the uniformity of love among the people of God. In verse 2, we have the uniformity of purpose hinted at. We will develop it. And then we have the uniformity of humility. Now here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if we are indeed in the attitude of Christ, if we humble ourselves like him, each one of us, we will be equal, because we will be comparing ourselves to Christ. And if we are like Christ, we will be equal. There will be a uniformity of humility if we admire Christ and seek to be like him. Let's talk about the uniformity of love first among the church of God. Now the Holy Spirit is the source of that love, the love that's in us. I'll read verse 1 again. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and indeed there is consolation in Christ, there is comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there's fellowship in the Spirit, if any mercies and bowels, if any compassions and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, having the same love one for each other. In the second chapter of James' epistle, I don't believe I'll turn to it. I think that I'll just speak to of James there. He is telling his people to whom he is writing, and he's writing to Jewish persons. He's telling them not to show preference between people. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he makes a point of that. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will love everybody equally. There's an old axiom in geometry. You'll remember it. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. If we all love our neighbors as ourselves, we'll love them all equally. And James tells them in a pungent way, if you show preference, you break the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and we are to love ourselves, love those of us in the church. This does not apply to the mother's love, the father's love. This is the church to whom Paul is writing. Let's put it in its context. We are to be equal in our love one to another, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, the Lord's command, for instance, in John chapter 15, verse 12, we read there, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, does the Lord show preference and his love to us? As I have loved you. He loves us equally. He died for us equally on that cross. And if we obey the command of the Lord, we're not going to be preferential in our love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he loves us equally, and we are to do so too. All right, there's a uniformity of purpose. We read that in verse 2, although we will not develop it to any great extent. Verse 2, we read, fulfill ye my love, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And he's talking about the work of the Lord. He tells in chapter 4, he tells Euodias and Syntyche, two sisters who seem to have a rivalry in the things of God. He says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, this is a uniformity of purpose. They were to serve the Lord, yes, but with a uniformity of purposes, a purpose serving the same Lord and with the same love and perhaps with unreserved zeal. Now, we have that brought before, we're told to serve others. You notice that in Philippians chapter 2. We're even told to whom to serve. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. So here we have a uniformity of purpose. Now, as to the uniformity of humility, we read in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we occupy ourselves with the Lord Jesus and are like him, we will have that uniformity of humility. That should go without saying. But if we copy the same person, if we seek to be in his glory, then we'll be alike. And so he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we have the same humbling. We will have that same position that Christ occupied when he came down and humbled himself. He thought it not robbery, we read in verse 5-6 rather, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That was a downward step. seven things, this humbling of Christ is sevenfold. Schofield brings it out in his Bible. If we, if that mind is in us, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he laid aside his glory, not his deity, he laid aside his glory, but made himself of no reputation. And then, number three, he took upon himself the form of a servant when he became incarnated. He became incarnated as a servant. Number four, and was made in the likeness of men. The angels are servants, and they're certainly more glorious than men, but he was made in the likeness of men. That was a downward step. And being found in fashion as a man. Now, he could have kept his deity, but he lived like other people. He ate. He grew tired. He helped people. And he lived like other people. He was one of us. God manifest in human flesh, the incarnation. And then we can go on. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Oh, what a step. A death. But there is such a thing as an honorable death. But number seven, even the death of the cross. A death of shame. The death of a criminal. Christ died for your sins and for mine on that cross. Thank God. He did love us equally, didn't he? Certainly, he did. And then we read in verse 9 of this wonderful portion in Philippians, wherefore, because of this, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, three times, while he is indeed in this world, he gives a formula for greatness. Here it is. In this one is found in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Lord Jesus ended that parable, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now who says this? The Lord says this. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That was on God's portion. He gave Christ the highest place. Now Christ says, you follow my word, and you're going to have that high place too. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's a promise. The road to humility is down. Let's take the humble place and let the Lord exalt us. If he does, he'll do it right. He'll do it right. Our Father today, help us to love each other equally, serve each other equally, and be humble in the same capacity, being all of us like the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.